We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching from Metro Church. We hope this inspiring message will empower and enrich your life.
It is Christmas time. I'm excited. I don't know about you, but I love this time of the year. My wife is like absolutely crazy about Christmas to the point where I've got to like talk her off the ledge. She wants to watch Christmas movies before like Charlie Brown Thanksgiving, and like she wants to watch Christmas movies before like the Great Pumpkin Patch Charlie Brown. Like I've got to keep her to at least Black Friday we can release Christmas. You see what I'm saying? And so my kids have become the same way. So when you guys are talking about like Black Friday shopping, we're talking about like tree shopping. So we literally go and get the Christmas tree the day, like, I mean, we're still eating pumpkin pie leftovers and we're getting Christmas trees, but whatever. Some of you understand. The whole point is this. There's something about this time of year that gets some people jolly and some people stressed. Wouldn't you agree? You know what I mean? And so I've been thinking a lot about this because this is a crazy time of the year. It's during this time of the year that we can oftentimes find people feeling less jolly than usual, feeling more like the Grinch than Cindy Lou Who. You know what I'm talking about? You know, and we need more Cindy Lou Who's, less Grinches. But the point is, it's an interesting time of year. And why do people get so stressed out? What is it? Because I want to talk to you today about stressing all the way. That's the sermon title, Stressing All the Way. And the fact is this. Too many people have allowed the wrong things to control them this time of year. Many choose to emphasize and stress the wrong points during the holiday season. And so they go along with the craziness that is commercial Christmas, tied to the feeling of comparison games found on social media feeds. It's like, well, did my Christmas dinner look as good as theirs? Because they posted a picture of that turkey or that ham. And man, and I know you guys kind of laugh, but actually this next generation, they live in the comparison game all the time. You know? And so the fact is, it can become a very stressful time of the year because, you know, there are too many fearing that their children's Christmas won't be as good as their friends at school, and they're going to have to go to school and hear about that. You know, crazy, you know, over-shopping, which creates over-spoiling. You know what I mean? We sometimes can create, you know, little monsters. And the fact of the matter is we need to make sure that this season, you know, doesn't get out of control and become a monster, but that it stays focused on the manger. Because that's what Christmas is about. That's what it is about. And we get stressed about things that really aren't really part of what Christmas should be. And I'm not saying that there shouldn't be gift giving and receiving, because the wise men brought gifts, and I teach my kids about what that means. And I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying we've got to keep things, got to keep priorities. We've got to understand what is important, and we stick to those things. You hear what I'm saying? And so Christmas should be a joyful time, not a stressful time. So how do we keep Christmas from stressing us out? Anybody in here that's like, I would like to hear that. Because I'm about this deep and things need to be done. You're like, I got to climb up on a roof and get lights on the roof because someone wants lights on the roof. You know, not me, but I got to do it. And then you got some people that are like, I'm just trying to catch up on bills from my vacation in the summer. And now all of a sudden we've got Christmas here and they're starting to stress out. That's not the point. Right? So how do we keep ourselves from being stressed out? Number one, we need to learn to practice his presence. See, Chad goes, you say, well, Chad, if I've invited Jesus into my heart and he lives in me, then he's always present. Yeah, but it doesn't mean you're in his presence. Did you hear me? And Christmas is about the presence, right? Emmanuel, God with us. The greatest presence we have ever received, ever, was God's gift of presence. And that's what Christmas is about. It's the fact that God said, hey, I understand the struggle with humanity, and I'm coming down myself to make a way. That's what we celebrate. And so we've got to make sure that Christmas stays about Christ, and it doesn't just turn into this chaos that it can be. You know, I don't know if you enjoy watching some of the chaos. Anybody watch things that it's like deer in headlights and you just can't not watch it? You know, I'm going to be honest with you. If I have free time on a Black Friday, I normally go get a coffee and find a great elevated position in the mall to watch the chaos. And I'm a people watcher, not a weird watcher, but just kind of like, you know, everyone's different walks, different talks. And it's just interesting to see how things go. But we need to make sure we don't get stressed out. So we've got to practice his presence. Let's jump to Luke 2. I love this here, Luke 2, 10, 11. It says, "But the angel said," speaking to the shepherds, "the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, because I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord.'" That will cause great joy for all people. Do you feel joyful this time of year? You should, because I know a lot of people that aren't feeling joyful. But this is a time of year where we go, whoa, let's remember what the gospel is, what the good news was, and that it's supposed to bring us great joy. There's too many people with less hair after Christmas because they've been pulling it out. There's too many people stressed out. They love their family less after Christmas than they did before. They've got bratty kids that didn't like the toys they got. They're complaining about what they didn't get. And it's like, hey, you know what? The Bible says train your child for a reason. Meaning they don't come perfect out of the box. Meaning sometimes it takes more work to get your child to be respectful, to understand. But it starts at home. It doesn't start in the community expecting the government to raise your child. Are you hearing me? Yeah, I'm just telling you, we've got to understand God's presence is a gift, and we've got to make sure it stays a focal point in our Christmas. We've got to practice his presence. And so what does Jesus' presence do for us? Look what it says in Philippians 4:7. It says, "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Jesus, when we're in Christ Jesus, we're experiencing a peace that surpasses understanding. We're experiencing our hearts being guarded because of who Jesus is. We should, if we keep Jesus at the center of this Christmas, it should be an amazing holiday, not a stressful holiday. I don't know, you know, some people after a hard day's work and they're feeling exhausted, but they feel fulfilled and productive, and they sit down on the couch and they're just like, "Oh, I'm exhausted, but that was worth it." You can have that feeling in Christmas. I'm not saying that it's not. We know that schedules get busier. We know that there's going to be more to do. I'm not saying you don't have to balance more. I'm just saying the spirit and the attitude in which you do it can be better if you keep the main thing the main thing. In Jesus, we experience the peace of God. So when the stresses build in the world around you, find consolation in the Jesus inside you. Did you hear me? Because that's what it was about. He came to us so that we could have relationship. And so we can be consoled in Christ in the struggles, in the hardships. So when the stress builds in the world around me, I will find consolation in the Jesus inside me. Okay? Look what it says in Psalms 94:19. It says, "When anxiety was great within me, your consolation brought me joy." What brought me joy? The fact that your presence, my ability to receive from you because you are here. I can receive something from you. God can fill the void that you're expecting other people to fill. You know, people, they have a frustration because maybe the season didn't go the way they thought it should and they don't feel fulfilled, but it's not because they weren't fulfilled because of some person's lack of filling an expectation. It's because you've put focus on the wrong thing this season. Don't be stressed by the things that were man-made and man-created. You know, commercial Christmas. Don't be stressed by that. We've got to practice his presence. When you think about the ability that we have to have a relationship with God and the things that tear us away or pull us away from that great privilege and honor, how crazy that is. There's a book called Practicing the Presence of God written by Brother Lawrence. And you've got to wade through some of the old school, you know, English style of writing. But the fact is, there's a great thought here. I want to read to you. It says that we should establish ourselves in a sense of God's presence by continually conversing with him. That it was a shameful thing to quit his conversation, to think of trifles and fooleries. The thought of this, the thought that we would actually stop conversing and focusing on God for the sake of the trivial is silly and foolish. But we find ourselves doing that all the time, especially during Christmas when we're supposed to be celebrating him. Cricket, cricket. Christ is the reason for the season. If we lose sight of Christ in Christmas, the Emmanuel, God is with us, this season will be nothing more than man-made chaos. So we just need to remember that. The second thing is we need to secure the significance. So practice his presence, but also secure the significance. Don't lose sight of the significant. Make what is most important about Christmas a priority this Christmas. Families, you need to bring focus onto Jesus' birth and the understanding of why we celebrate, why we give gifts. You know, it's funny because we've been, you know, teaching our kids and training our children through the years on understanding things of God, which the world looks at and doesn't understand. But when we open the Bible, when we find understanding, we can train them so that it's not foreign to them. Right? Right. But this is the point. So I walk in, Mackenzie, she's been dealing with the croup and all the other stuff going on. You guys, I'm sure you've seen it. If you've got kids in school, I'm sure you've seen it too close. It's like a Petri dish. Your kids are like, it is what it is. So anyway, I walk into my kid's bedroom, and Mackenzie's home from school not feeling well, but she has like 30 of her dolls set up in a big circle, and she's performing a wedding with Barbie dolls. And I was like, oh, hey, what you doing? And she's like, oh, I'm performing a wedding. And I was like, oh. And she looks up at me, she goes, I know how to do that. She calls it officiating instead of officiating. I officiate this wedding here. And I said, oh, how'd you do that? And she goes, I snuck into the back of the last one you did, and I watched. And I was like, okay, all right, cool. And she goes, but first I have to tell them about what Christmas means. And so I'm like, all right, so she thinks we got to talk about what Christmas means at a wedding, but that's fine. We'll just go there for a minute. And so I go, okay, well, keep up the good work. And I step out, and I just stand outside the door to listen. And she goes, now look, Christmas isn't about just getting gifts. She goes, it's about giving gifts. It's about giving God. And she goes, and so you should be happy with what you get. But don't forget you got to give too. And I'm like, hey, you know what? Okay. You know, it's the fact is I help them understand that we give gifts because wise men bring gifts to God. So the fact of the matter is, I've taught my kids that around Christmas, we make sure we bring our best gift to God first, and we bring a Christmas offering to God. But then the reason we give gifts to each other is because Jesus' birthday is so amazing that we celebrate it all together. You know, when it's my kid's birthday, they come down the stairs and they go, what did you get me? Right? Because it's their day. But see, Jesus' birthday is our day, in which we all get to celebrate. And that's the purpose of gift giving. We've got to understand we're celebrating, but that doesn't mean that we've got to get out of control. I don't know if you realize it, but Black Friday was extended till Christmas. I don't know if you've got the 800 emails that say, hey, just so you know, it was extended for 3 more weeks. And you're like, it's Christmas Eve, and it's still a Black Friday day. I don't get it. But the point is we've got to secure the significant. I explained to my kids in the same way the wise men brought gifts to celebrate the gift that came from heaven and Jesus, we celebrate by giving gifts to each other. And so as we train our kids and raise our kids, one of the things that we spend a little extra time around this holiday season teaching them is these things right here. First thing, to remind them the importance of others first and that it is greater to give than receive. So my kids go and they'll pick up a couple names or a couple of those tags from our Salvation Army, and they get to go and choose gifts that they would want to give to somebody, okay? And someone goes, oh, that's great, Chad. I don't have an extra budget for that. My kids are going to learn that actually that came out of their Christmas budget, because my kids will sow from suffering. That didn't sound awesome, did it? The fact of the matter is, if I want them to be generous people, which I do the day and age in which I need them to take care of me, I will train them now what suffering looks like in a loving way. And so you go, well, Chad, that's harsh. No, right now they're at the age of 5 and 8. They don't know it's out of their money, but I know because it's an important thing. It's so important for them to know that I actually make sure they have the ability to do it, right? And so they pull one of those little tags and they get excited and they go, and you know, Riley's like, oh, this will be great. Let's do this. And Mackenzie's like, I want this. And so I'm going to give it to someone else, you know, because I want this. She's like sending all these messages. And so we're still working with her. I think she'll be saved someday. You know, and so the fact is this. The fact is, and then what else do we do? We teach our kids that regardless of what our situation is, we're blessed. Regardless of our situation, we're blessed. So what does that mean? Well, we're blessed to be a blessing. So we also have our kids go through the house and find lightly used toys that they don't really play with much anymore, and we donate those to our community cupboard. Why? Because we want to start here. We want to help here. That's a training thing. Let's keep Christmas about doing good, yeah? Okay, and so we got to remind them the importance of these things, and they will always be trained to give first and receive after. You know, I think about it. And let me first of all tell you, we do a lot of things around Christmas time because we know that there's an amazing opportunity to show Christ's love around this time of year because everyone's thinking about Christmas, right? But listen, it doesn't mean everything we do here, you have to be involved with everything. Does it make sense? Pick and choose what you can do. You know, we're doing this angel-free thing. It's not an angel tree. It's the Salvation Army toy program, which I absolutely love this program because actually what it does is it allows the parents of those in need to actually save a little bit of their dignity and be able to feel like they had a part in their kids' Christmas, even though they couldn't afford to do it. What they do is we bring these gifts, and they set up tables. This table is for girls 6 to 8 years old. This is for boys 2 to 3 years old. And they set up these tables, and they allow these parents that have come in that are qualified to get these tickets, and they can go and choose, personally choose, 3 toys or whatever it might be per child. And they allow to have the parents to have the personal touch of choosing it for their child, getting wrapping paper, and going putting it together for their kid. That's a good thing. That's a really good thing. And so, but the point is we're doing this Salvation Army thing. The next thing is that we don't want to do something outside of this house without considering how we can help people in this house. But most people that need help don't want to necessarily lift up their hand. So if you know of somebody that's going through a hard time and you want to anonymously let us know in the church, like, hey, you know, I think this person could use some help. We want to help the church too. I don't want people in here hurting, going, wow, look at everything we're doing, but my kid's not going to have a Christmas. Yes? But I think of it like Jesus said, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the age, or to the ends of the earth. So what does that mean? I want to do something outside. So we're also going and partnering and helping Christmas at the Zimbabwe orphanage that's happening in Africa again this year. So we're involved in that as well. And so let's just understand it is greater to give than to receive. And when we raise our children that way, man, it's easier to live with them. So number three, the next thing, how do we keep from being stressed out? Have a plan. And that's what I was talking about here. I kind of led into it a little early, but you don't have to be involved with everything to do good. But choose to have a plan, because the fact of the matter is you need a plan for your own household. How many people, they get into the shopping mood? You ever get it, like people, there are zones, aren't there? You get into Thanksgiving, you get into a zone. You show up as a man with maternity pants on just because you want a little extra room, the stretchy waistbands. You get into the zone and prepared to do the very thing that you came to do. And so you're working in this zone. Well, I believe that sometimes there's this shopping zone. You're used to opening up your wallet and doing and doing and doing. And before you know it, you haven't had a plan. And now you're like, how am I going to pay rent? We got to have wisdom. You need to have a plan. I know that you feel motivated, but can I tell you, especially this time of year, in the same way I tell you all year round not to just be led by your hearts, you got to have a plan. Otherwise, you will give away. I think about it, even in my heart, I'm like, look, I don't want to be so motivated to do good that I actually rob God to do it. People not tithing on December because they feel compelled to do other things. It's like, I'm not going to rob Peter to pay Paul. I'm not going to rob God's tithe. I'm not going to not be able to pay my electricity bill just because I feel like, well, it was a nice thing to do. Have a plan, y'all. Yeah. Otherwise, you're living in the stress you've created. Don't blame it on Christmas. It was the lack of your plan. God will bless a plan if we've got to have a plan in which God can choose to bless. Okay. He's talking about money. Let's move on. Okay, I will. Number four, I really will. I'll just move on altogether. You get it. Number four, devote yourself to doing good. Choose this year to do more good than you did last year. And that doesn't have to be money. This isn't a look at me show or anything. I'm just thinking about something I just did yesterday. I was driving by a Dunkin' Donuts. Most people have to stop when they drive by Dunkin' Donuts. I'm one of those people, you know. Coffee's holy. You ready? 3, 2, 1, corny joke, because after all, he brews. Okay. Yeah. Wait for my remix tape that's coming out. Me and Pastor Peter. You're going to do that. Okay, so check this out. What you need to understand is that we can do good just with whatever's around and how we can. I was driving by a man with a sign, and he was going through some struggles, and he had his wife and his teenage daughter there. And, you know, it's hard to drive by something like that when you go, man, this is a hard situation. And so I took the time not to try and dig out all the coins and all the quarters. They were in the cold. I went and just bought him some hot chocolates, and I sat down and talked with him a little while, and I told him the greater help. You know, it makes me think of the person that the lame man that was trying to get money from the disciples, and they said, "Hey, silver and gold I don't have, but what I do have, I give to you." And so what I did is I did have an invite card, and I had some hot chocolate, and I just sat and talked with him for a little while. But the fact of the matter is, we have to do something. We can't just go, "Well, God, you know, you got to look for ways to do good." Some days you're lucky enough for the door to just be opened and you see it. But you've got to look for ways to do good. Devote yourself to doing good. You know, we don't need to be stressed out with the wrong things, but the right things we need to stress. Does it make sense? Look what it says in Titus 3:7-9. It says this, "So that, having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life." We got a lot in our corner, don't we? "This is a trustworthy saying, and I want you to stress these things, so that those who have trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. These things are excellent and profitable for everyone." We must devote ourselves to doing good this year. When we choose to do good, it makes me think of the scripture that Jesus said, "Well, you visited me when I was in prison, and you gave me something to drink when I was thirsty, and you fed." And the disciples go, "When did we do that?" And he said, "Anyone you did it for, you did it for me." We can look around and find ways to help, and it doesn't always have to be money. We've got to find ways to do good. And if we can choose to do good, and we can choose to keep this, you know, securing the significant, if we can choose to continue to practice his presence, I'm telling you, this holiday season, this Christmas season can be the best one you've ever had. Not just for you, but for those around you. We literally have the ability to soothe other people's stresses. Did you know that? Because you go, "Well, that's great. I'm feeling great, but everyone else is just acting a fool. They're crazy. They're so stressed out, they're making me stressed out, and I'm having to, you know, you're having to find a corner in your cubicle to pray every 20 minutes just because of the person on the other side of the cubicle." I saw this little sign the other day. It said, "Cubicle, sweet cubicle." It's just this cute little thing, and I was like, "Oh, man, I don't even know where that came from." But somebody's like, "I need to go buy that." Either way, Proverbs 12:25 says this, "Anxiety weighs down the heart, but a kind word cheers it up." You can choose to say things that can shift people's day. You go, "Ah, what's it going to do?" It could change all sorts of things. You know, I think about just the hot chocolates and that little conversation I had with that guy, and I just go, "What was that?" Wasn't much. But who knows? That conversation could have been the thing that changed, that could have given him hope, that goes, "You know what? There are good people that do care. And if they care, they must find their care from something." There's so many people that they're always only about themselves. And if we allow ourselves, we'll become just like them. We've got to fight against our flesh. It's a constant battle. Yes? Let's go back to Luke 2. As the keys come back, let's go back to Luke 2. "But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring good news that will cause great joy for all the people.'" Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. See, if you aren't finding joy in Christmas, then I ask you to reconsider what you have made this season about. We've got to get back to what Christmas is really about, which is Emmanuel. God is with us. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes?
We hope you have enjoyed this teaching from Metro Church. For more information about Metro Church, please visit our website at www.metro-church.net. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter.